Hi, this is Susan Gingrich, the Herb Lady, talking to you from Ohio tonight, and we have with us Thomas Easley from Alabama. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, Susan. How are you tonight?
I'm good. We've had quite a week, 2 weeks, I guess, since we've done the show. We went up to Fort Wayne together and taught a class called Dr. Mom, Dr. Dad, which is a basic herbalism course that lays the groundwork for any kind of acute problem, earaches, infections, fever, explains about inflammation and how that works in the body, and lays the groundwork for a 7-course series, a certification course in herbalism. And I'm just really excited about it. We had a great time working together. Thank you, Thomas.
Yes,
really
thank
appreciate
you.
What you know and just how you are. It was really fun. And we will be offering those around the country. We'll keep you posted on when we have more coming up. I guess we've got one scheduled in Asheville. Is it North Carolina?
Asheville, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. The end of June. I don't have a definite date on that yet, but I'm working on that. I should know shortly. So if you're interested, just send me an email, and we'll get you all the contact information on that.
Okay. And how would we send an email to you?
Oh, yes. My email address is TMEASLEY@hotmail.com. TMEASLEY@hotmail.com.
And my email address is N, as in Norman, Gingrich, GINGERICH, at cinci.rr.com. And we'll give this again later in the show, too. We had an interesting experience, too. We have a mutual friend who started off on the Appalachian Trail and fell, rolled down the hillside and sprained her back pretty severely. Thomas picked her up on his way up here. We took care of her sprained back, and she's healing much faster than she has any right to. but it was quite a fun experience to be able to help her out with that. We ended up soaking her in a bathtub full of comfrey leaf and worked with everything from an enzyme product sprayed on her muscles to, what else? That's called Nature's Fresh. We used MSM, of course, to help relieve inflammation, and I forget what all. But that kind of led me to the topic for the evening, muscles and muscle pain. And I went through an experience about 10 years ago with chronic fatigue, and I know that it's a huge problem out there. A lot of people are having problems with fibromyalgia, muscle pain, chronic fatigue. And back when I was finally diagnosed with it after about a year and a half of even searching for what was wrong, you know, as I was degenerating slowly, I finally got some good help. But it has, the experience of that disease or that dis-ease that I was having has led me to where I am today with a whole lot of issues, both politically and, with health care generally in the U.S. I spent the day today up at the State House in Ohio talking to 9 different legislators trying to kill a bill that would require registration for all alternative and complementary health care providers. And the reason I'm so concerned about that is that I really have a conviction that consumers everywhere have a right to an informed choice in their medical practices, and I'm convinced that a good health freedom bill needs to be passed in every state in the United States. Right now there are only 6. None of them include registration. We just don't trust handing our names over to somebody who would be actually a medical board exemptor and expecting them to be respectful of that list of names forever. So we're looking for an exemption bill which would require proof of damage before anyone could be prosecuted. And what we would, right now in Ohio, dietitians have free rein to tell us that there's been a complaint if they find an ad in the paper advertising nutritional counseling, and if you're not a dietitian, you're illegal here. And lots of people have spent a lot of money in court dealing with that, and it's on the order of a witch hunt, actually. So we're looking for a return of our free speech and our right to hold a different opinion. And one of the things that I kept hearing myself talking about today was trying not to be at odds with the medical profession and yet explain how it is that a naturopathic person approaches the human body. And Thomas and I were conversing earlier this evening, and Thomas, you mentioned the garbage analogy. Could you talk about that again?
Yeah, flies are attracted to a pile of garbage. Is that the analogy you're wanting me to talk about?
Yes, right.
Yeah, flies are attracted to a pile of garbage. They didn't cause the pile of garbage to be there. It's not their fault. Now, when we're talking about health and disease, is that what you want to go into?
Yeah, go ahead.
When we're talking about health and disease, you know, a lot of people treat the disease. They treat infections or parasites or candida, even in the natural world, and they tend to ignore health as a whole. And so I think that you should pursue being healthy and not pursue getting rid of disease. And so our bodies were designed to, when we die, be broken down by bacteria and parasites and viruses and stuff like that. And decomposed. And our problem nowadays is that we've got such a low energy level at the cellular level, a lack of vitalism, if you will, that bacteria and virus and parasites are trying to break us down now. And that's signaled by intracellular over-acidity and a lack of nutrient and toxic waste transfer through the biological terrain or the lymphatic fluid of the body. So it's, you know, in debate, we always use the archetypal argument of fire hydrants cause crime. You know, there's more crime where there's more fire hydrants, therefore fire hydrants cause crime. Well, you fail to take into account that where there are more fire hydrants, there's more people. And people cause crime, not fire hydrants. Same thing with bacteria and virus and parasites. Okay? They're attracted to dirty houses. You know, roaches and rats are attracted when you leave food out and don't take your garbage and never clean. Same thing with your body. Bacteria, virus, parasites, candida, stuff like that. They're all attracted when you don't have proper waste disposal and nutrient transfer throughout the body. And you get stuff that backs up and you just get sick. And so instead of focusing on the disease, which would be the parasite, bacteria, virus, you focus on getting the body healthy and getting, you know, your waste disposal going better and your nutrient transfer going better, and the body fixes itself.
Yeah, and if you've got a pile of garbage with flies all over it, you could spend a lot of effort trying to keep the flies sprayed, you know, put poison on it and kill the flies, but they'll be back in 10 minutes. So the object here is that where modern medicine tries to poison off the flies, naturopathy takes out the garbage, okay? You take the garbage somewhere else, and then you clean out the garbage can, and you won't have the flies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge difference in approach. And, you know, I just wanted the marketplace to have a fair shake at being able to inform the consumers that there's another option besides antibiotics and chemotherapy and the various poisonous medications that are available to us through modern medicine. That there is the other option would be to you know, get a good bowel cleanse and clean out the garbage can and then hose it down with lots of water. You know, nourish the body so that it can do its own. You know, can actually bring itself to a healing crisis and kick out the irritant. You want to actually support the body in its natural healing ability. Okay, so with that in mind.
Yeah, I love how you went into detail about your own personal experiences and what you went through when we were talking earlier.
Yeah, I'll do that.
A few minutes and go into that?
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Okay, so this is what brought me to where I am today and why we're even doing this show or working with the politicians or any of this. In 1994, when my husband had the congestive heart failure, which we've talked about on another show, he was offered a heart transplant, which we said no thank you very much, and went ahead and rebuilt his heart. Now, in the meantime, I was of course dealing with a lot of stress, but I suddenly went into a place where I was barely able to get out of bed and make it to the couch, and I'd spend the day there. This went on for a good year to a year and a half before I was able to find any help with it. And I remember in the process of going downhill like this, I immediately went to the doctor, of course, and he handed me a Valium prescription, which I graciously refused. And I said, look, I don't do well with medications. I've had every reaction to medicines that you could imagine, and I know that that would damage my liver further. And from the little I knew about naturopathy at that point, I knew that I didn't want to damage my liver anymore. And it turns out that with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, even lupus, you have a liver connection here that we'll let Thomas talk about here in a little while. So at least I had that intuitive impression that I didn't want to go there. But I couldn't get anything else out of the doctor. I collected 3 Valium prescriptions. I've kept them. I never had them filled because I just didn't want to go in that direction. And he told me that my illness was all in my head. He also said that it was because of the stress of my husband's situation. I get that connection, but that it was in my head is really condescending at a time when you're asking for help. And it's a kind of a ridiculous use of the body-mind connection to blame the patient for being sick. That's happened more often than I'd like to think to the clients that I work with, too. So we all want to be careful not to blame the patient for being in the state they're in. We want to help them do the explore to find what's at the root cause and get rid of it, but without blaming them for being sick. Because that really struck me as a terrible place to go. So what would happen with that? I remember throwing away my calendar at one point because every time I would exert myself, and I used to have 10 gardens here and a greenhouse, but I had to give all that up early on in this. I just couldn't move. I was beginning to get something like rigor mortis setting in. It from my neck to my behind, it was just as hard as a rock. No massage therapist could even loosen it up enough to move it. And it was kind of scary that I was that stiff and red. And occasionally I would do something called streaking, where I would get 3 streaks of hot, red hot, just heat that would just shoot down my arm or across a leg or across my middle. And I called it streaking. And it would raise up about 1/8 to 1/4 of an inch in welts. And I can remember itching so badly with this that I would put myself to bed in the bathtub with oatmeal around me just to cool it off. It was the only way I could lie down on it. And it had this awful habit of really firing up just as I'd lie down to go to sleep. So I was also not getting any sleep at all. One of the things with chronic fatigue is people can't sleep, and they're exhausted, and they might get a couple hours of sleep and then wake right up again and not be able to sleep all night. As I said, I threw my calendar away. I went to this clinic that was a natural clinic. It cost way too much for what the situation was. They first of all told me to take this one bottle of homeopathy stuff for a month and then come back and see him. And I can remember saying to that doctor, no, you don't understand. I'm dying here, and I need to know that something's going to matter by tomorrow, you know. And I said, do you have any books to read? I really want to find out what nutrients I need. And he told me that they were too complicated for me to understand, which made me mad. So I did find some books in some strange stores. But the first book I read, in the first chapter, told me that I would need to be on welfare the rest of my life because people don't recover from this. And I remember mustering up the energy to throw the book across the room. I was just determined that I was going to find a way to get out of this. Now, one of the things I noticed was that no one in Ohio was talking about it. You could go to the doctor and he would tell you it was all in your head, but there was nobody else available to tell you what to do. And I remember thinking, why isn't this more available? And then I came to find out that we have this dietitian's law, and nobody but dietitians are allowed to talk about nutrition and health in the same sentence in Ohio. So people who did know about it, you had to find them by word of mouth. There was no way to find them by advertising. So it makes it a little harder around here to get well from this sort of thing because the consumer is left out of the loop. You know, it's just being new to the circuit, I didn't know where to go. So I remember resolving that if I could find my way out of this, I was going to make sure that the next person on that couch didn't go through the same feeling of being totally deserted that I felt. I just couldn't find any help. So finally, we got to this clinic, and they sent us up to a dentist's office. There was a biological dentist up the street from them, and that gentleman showed me an article about root canals, and that root canals can harbor anaerobic bacteria even after the root canal's done. And I guess the man who developed root canals actually did one in his own son, and the boy died. He took the tooth out and embedded it under the skin of a rabbit. The rabbit died of the same general symptoms within about a week and a half. Took the tooth out and did it to several rabbits in a row. So a root canal tooth can be full of an anaerobic type of infection. Now, what I would do with that now is to soak a poultice on the gum to pull the infection out. And you can use plantain, slippery elm, white oak bark. What else, Thomas? You mentioned this earlier.
A little pinch of a little pinch of golden seal or Oregon grape works great in with that.
Could they be antibiotic in property?
Right.
Yeah, really, and then colloidal silver. I've used that too to moisten the whole mess and just put it on the gums, and that would draw out the infection. But I didn't know that at the time, so I went on up the road and I had the tooth pulled that afternoon, and I remember thinking, I just put $800 into a root canal. What am I doing? But I felt so bad that I was willing to do anything. So I had the tooth pulled out. 3 days later, my husband brushed past me and said, your butt's soft. It hadn't been that way for a year or so. And so my muscles were starting to loosen up once that tooth was no longer in my system. We went ahead over the next year and had all the metals removed from our mouths. I later even undid the crowns and took the metals out of that if I could afford to do it. And it's a rather expensive procedure to do that. We then had the metals chelated out using DMPS. We now have a product in Nature Sunshine called Heavy Metal Detox, which would help to pull that out. But that was the first step. And then that led me to Dr. Cates up in Dublin, who has now passed away. He was an MD trained in Harvard, and he had maybe 20 years before switched over to homeopathy and nutritional consulting. He had a nurse in his office who took care of that. And the very first visit that I had with him, he came in and he said, first thing we have to do is find your food allergies. And I remember saying, no, you silly old goat, this is really serious. And he insisted that I check into food allergies, so I was going to prove him wrong, you know. And he handed me a book called Diagnosing Your Own Food Allergies. And basically what you do with that is to eliminate the foods that you're suspicious of. And you should be suspicious of any food that you incorporate into every meal. If you can't imagine life without a pat of butter on every vegetable that you eat, or every meal has to have bread with it, then you probably have a problem with those two. And those are very common food allergens. I remember over the years I've sold as many as 20 of those same books to clients of mine, and they would all come back and tell me that they were allergic to dairy and wheat. So I finally got the message, and I just tell people to stop those foods if they're in a chronically reduced condition, because they tend to be very irritating foods. And why? The dairy molecule, according to Dr. Jensen, is just too large for us to break down, and the immune system sees it as an invader. And the wheat, he said, is a hybrid version in this country, and there are problems with the processing of wheat, too, that we need to be aware of. But the way you find the allergen is to eliminate the food for 7 days, and then you bring in one food at a time and see how you fare. So I was going to prove him wrong. I eliminated these foods for 7 days, and the first one I wanted really bad when it was time to test it back in was a baked potato with sour cream and butter on it. I ate the darn thing, and within 3 hours, I had the rash all over my backside again. I had the irritating flaming streaks again, and I was irritable, and I fell asleep in the middle of a conversation. I could not stay awake. And when I kind of came to, I remember the people around me said, you're going to have to face the fact that it was the sour cream that did that. And I cried for 2.5 hours because we have this odd addiction to the food that we're allergic to. And I could put sour cream in every recipe going. So it'll be the thing you love the most. And I'm sorry about that. It's just the way it is. The next day I tried cream of wheat first thing in the morning. And I noticed I was suddenly weakening all over, and I tried to get to the couch and made it halfway and fell on the floor and was stuck there for 2 hours. Could not move. And I thought to myself, chronic fatigue, huh? Maybe this has something to do with it. I am, after all, exhausted lying here on the floor. And I was just in this puddle until I could finally move a couple hours later. So I eliminated dairy and wheat. 20 years before, I had already eliminated white sugar. And I'll tell you, if you haven't already, you'll improve your health by taking that clear out of your house. Just get rid of white sugar. It's not, there's no USRDA for sugar because it's an empty calorie, spikes your blood sugar, and just causes all kinds of havoc in your system. By the way, cancer cells will feed on white sugar, too. And if you really want to beat cancer, you must stop eating sugar. So those three foods missing, I started to improve. Then I remember going back to Dr. Cates 1 month, and his nurse, Carolyn, said, you know, I was just reading this article on leaky gut, and she said, you've got all the symptoms. And I remember saying to her, could you name it something different? I don't like having leaky gut. It's not elegant. You know, so she just laughed at me, and we looked it over, and it is a case of an irritated gut that is so inflamed that it actually makes the lining of the gut porous, and then larger particles of food drift through that lining than ought to, and it sets up an immune response. So that's the connection to the autoimmune condition with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, is the food allergen. So what I had to do for that was eliminate the foods I was allergic to. I also started taking enzymes to digest the food better, so that if it did leak through, at least it was digested. And then what you do for leaky gut is, at that point, we knew about flaxseed oil. I later read about aloe vera. And Thomas mentioned some of those other things that we've found since then.
Yeah, I think my two favorite things to use are a combination of kudzu and St. John's wort, or umidagato or cat's claw. Both of those are anti-inflammatory. The St. John's wort helps to reinnervate the nerves that run to the intestines. Kudzu is mucilaginic, and Denali's add L-glutamine to the program also, and we've gone from an 8 month to a year time period of getting rid of leaky gut down to a month and a half, 2 months at the most.
Yeah, so see, at the time I had it, they figured it would take at least a year, maybe two, to heal that up, but we're getting better results faster with this additional stuff in the program. L-glutamine, kudzu, St. John's wort, and what else?
Umidagato.
Umidagato, all right. And I've used umidagato to help improve the white blood cell count in a serious infection as well, and even in leukemia. It's a wonderful herb. Okay, so I discovered early on how important food enzymes were to me. I think the first herbal product I took in the midst of all this was a product called Taihi Cleanse. And by removing toxins from the body, that made a huge improvement in the muscle pain. And I remember realizing a week after I started taking that my shoulder muscle wasn't as knotted, which was fascinating to me. I also discovered that magnesium is very important to fibromyalgia because the muscles have to have magnesium to relax. And understand that the gut is also related to the muscle situation. Think about all the peristaltic motion that's supposed to occur in the large intestine. And if you have muscle cramps throughout your body that are tight and hard, they also occur in the gut. So to relieve that, to relax that, will allow the toxic waste to move. So it's just really important to actually get the long-term healing, to get the magnesium as well as the Taihi Cleanse going to remove the toxins and relax the muscles in that area. Nature Sunshine has a product called Fibralgia, which is a combination of a highly absorbable magnesium with malic acid. And Thomas, you've had some really good results with that one, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I think the only two definitive studies done on fibromyalgia concluded that there was, as far as nutritional intake, blood work and your analysis and everything, there was a definite lack of both iodine and malic acid. And magnesium, I find everybody is deficient in, so it just makes sense to add that. But the malic acid magnesium is wonderful at relaxing the muscles as well as helping to to cut back on those crystalline toxic fibers, crystalline structures that are cutting on nerve fibers and muscle fibers also.
Given that theory on what you think the fibromyalgia is.
It's a simplified theory, and there's a lot of good science to back it up, but without boring you about, you know, details about cell walls and stuff like that. Basically, I believe that fibromyalgia is simply toxins that the liver intestines aren't eliminating properly that are trying to be forced out through the skin, and those toxins get clogged because they're fat-soluble, and they start to crystallize. And these crystallized toxins are what cuts the nerve and muscle tissue and causes the pain associated with fibromyalgia.
I've also heard that the muscles can be like being digested for energy. Is there any truth to that one, you think?
That's a really weird type of catabolism that can occur, and I don't know that that's been shown to happen in fibromyalgia cases. I'd have to research that further.
Go back to your other thought then about the black walnut and so forth.
Iodine deficiency is definitely linked to crystalline deposits in tissue as well as to nerve pain and stuff like that. So I really like using a combination of black walnut and chickweed. Chickweed emulsifies fat-soluble toxins, so it helps out with the fat-soluble toxins that are crystallized in the muscle tissue. Now, I also tend to add on the malic acid and magnesium. And the black walnut I use because it's high in iodine, as well as being naturally antiparasitic. It's got a chemical called jugolone in there, which is naturally antiparasitic. And when you boil the black walnuts down, it concentrates the iodine. So I use a product called black walnut ATC concentrate, which is a decoction of the black walnut that's concentrated and then dehydrated and encapsulated. So wonderful product for fibromyalgia.
Yeah. Then Noni juice came out, and I discovered that it was very good for general muscle inflammation reduction. It also helped to improve my joints, which were already on the way downhill, too. But I can remember, too, about 4 months after I started taking a product called VSC, which is an antiviral formula, I suddenly woke up with just a whole different level of health, and it just brought tears to my eyes that day. I felt energetic and ready to go. And what VSC would contribute to would be the Epstein-Barr virus, which can occur on a chronic level after you've had mononucleosis. I've had it twice in my adult life, so it made sense to me to start fighting the Epstein-Barr virus, which is in the family of herpes-type viruses. And so if you have herpes 1 or 2, and if that becomes chronic in the body, this could be part of a chronic fatigue situation. I wanted to say this, too. In my study of it, what I've discovered is that it's just the last straw that finally breaks the camel's back. And what it is an accumulation of just too much toxicity. And each person's chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, is going to be traced back to different things. One person might work in a garage and be inhaling too many fumes. Another person is going to be because of the root canal. And somebody else, it might be because of somebody else's drugs that they're too close to or taking or touching with their hands, and it's just an overload to their system. So it depends, you know, it's just a matter of the final straw that broke the camel's back and then tracing back from there and rebuilding each of the things that have contributed to the problem. But then you understand that, you know, things like the leaky gut is probably going to occur with about everybody on this. The other thing that I discovered was that the liver is almost, well, it is. It's involved in all of these cases. I had been even looking into lupus and looking at the symptoms of lupus and realizing that I was darn near there, if not, you know. And lupus is a liver failure kind of condition. It's about the liver not being able to do its job. It's just not got enough energy to burn up the fat, or, you know, the liver congestion is going to be a part of this. So milk thistle became a very important supplement for me, too, because milk thistle will help to rebuild the liver. MSM helps to clear the liver as well. And Thomas, you can explain that. better than I can.
The liver has six major detox pathways, and MSM works on two of the major ones, both the methylation and sulfation pathway. And these are the two pathways that your body's own toxins that are produced as a byproduct of metabolism and catabolism are detoxed. And it's also the major pathways through which chemicals, like prescription medications, are detoxified too. So, you know, you would normally think of foods with a sulfation pathway like garlic and onions, but the methylation pathway is very hard to find foods that feed that methyl chemical in the body that helps open that liver way up. And so MSM is got both the methyl and the sulfur compounds in it and helps detox both of those pathways to help the liver with a phase two detox.
And what about SAM E while you're there?
Oh, SAM E. SAM E is another methylation, acetylation detox pathway. And it's just, how would I describe SAM E? If you've not had a normal good day in a couple years, take some SAM E. It helps out with anxiety and stress, and does that by working on the liver. It, you know, increases serotonin and melatonin, so you sleep better and you're happier. It's just a wonderful all-around product to take when you're having the blues or any type of sickness, because, you know, when you get sick, you feel bad. And so I really add SAM E on for any type of chronic illness and sometimes even acute illness.
When I was first studying SAM E, I recall reading that in Europe they use it instead of Prozac for depression.
Mm-hmm.
And then they discovered it has a wonderful side effect. What?
I said it's been used almost 30 years now in Europe.
Yeah, and it's a preferred thing to Prozac and Paxil, which are common drugs in the United States. One of the things they discovered is that it has wonderful side effects. It will tell the glucosamine where to be placed in the joint. So as a side effect, it helps to repair your joints as well. So if you're taking glucosamine and chondroitin, and maybe MSM for joint reconstruction, adding SAM E to that will get the job done faster and repair the liver at the same time.
Yeah.
What drug do you know that repairs the liver and fixes your joints at the same time? Most drugs will actually damage the liver.
All drugs will damage the liver.
Yeah.
I can't think of one that would be beneficial.
Yeah, Tylenol especially, it shuts it down so that you just can ignore what the liver would normally be doing with it. So, and that's one of the problems with fibromyalgia I didn't mention before. People are in so much pain, they start shoveling in the Aleve, the ibuprofen, the Motrin IV, and that's the fastest way to get to the leaky gut that I know. So those very painkillers will cause the leaky gut and kidney failure. And I know I've had problems with a weak kidney ever since I've had this problem, and I have to keep supporting the kidneys as well. And I think it has to do with that whole gut thing and elimination and moving toxins, because the kidneys will take the overflow of toxic removal when the bowels aren't doing their job properly. So then you overwork the kidneys, and you're taking the painkillers, and that is known to damage kidneys. Aleve, ibuprofen, Motrin IV, and aspirin, they're all in the NSAID family of painkillers. They cause leaky gut, and they cause kidney failure. So if you want to make your situation worse, take those painkillers, and it will be. Okay, so in the modern medical world is telling all of us to take an aspirin a day for heart prevention. Please, people, just take some magnesium every day. That will really prevent a heart attack. All they're looking for with the aspirin is to thin your blood, and thinner blood doesn't make a stronger muscle. Magnesium does. The heart is the muscle I'm talking about. So. Okay, this is Susan Gingrich. We're back with Thomas Easley. Sorry about the interruption, but something happened to the phone system and we got lost. So we'll continue where we left off. We were talking about the aspirin and NSAIDs causing leaky gut. So even though you're in pain, I'm suggesting that you avoid those completely. Use MSM for your pain relief. Nona juice is a good anti-inflammatory. Even phenyltol, boswellia. There are all sorts of pain relievers. White oak bark, which is at about an aspirin level of pain relief, that are safe. What?
White willow bark.
Yeah.
White oak bark.
Oh, I'm sorry. White willow bark. I guess my brain's on this little interruption. Okay, so those things would all help with the pain relief. But what your muscles are really needing is magnesium and to be fed and to be cleaned out to get that crystalline structure out of there that's causing the pain and the tearing that's going on. Okay, what have we not talked about here with this? Can you think of anything?
Well, we could talk about, you know, the general importance of diet also.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, I think most people don't realize the importance of just pure water in your diet. And the rule on water is half your body weight in ounces of water. So if you weigh 200 pounds, that's 100 ounces of water, not just 8 glasses.
And we're allowed to educate you on this fact in Ohio, but if we were to tell our clients specifically to drink water, that would be considered a prescription here. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
So go ahead and educate these people on that fact.
So, yes, we provide all of our services as strictly educational.
Yeah.
So, yeah, water is a universal solvent. It dissolves everything, basically, in the body and helps move nutrients both to the cells and transport waste away from the cells. So water is extremely important, and no tea does not count as water, and no Kool-Aid does not count as water.
And especially pop does not count as water.
Right. So it's not fluid, it's pure water we're talking about. If you get bored with pure water, squeeze some lemon in it. Other than that, there's no exception. You've got to drink water, 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 water.
Or chlorophyll with peppermint.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can do that.
Okay.
That would be it. Yeah.
Now, the body goes through natural cleansing phases and natural building phases. In fact, I think the most prevalent cleansing phase in the body is the liver's own cleansing phase. And so it cleanses at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and 3 o'clock in the morning. So if you get tired in between 2 and 3 in the afternoon and need a siesta, or you wake up unexpectedly in between 2 or 3 every night, agitated and can't sleep, that's your liver telling you it needs some help. And there's some simple things you can do for that, like increase your intake of onions and garlic, for one. Increase your cruciferous vegetables to open up those pathways in the liver that help to detoxify excess hormones and such as that.
Cruciferous vegetables would be Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower, and
cabbage.
I believe kale.
And cabbage.
Cabbage, of course.
And a really great one, and I've got to mention this because I'm here in the South, is collards.
Yeah.
Collards are a wild form of cabbage with a little bit different taste, a little bit stronger, and they're recently rated as one of the best cruciferous vegetables to eat.
And that'll help to prevent colon cancer too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, opening up the liver just through dietary habits can be very effective, but you've got to drink water. You've got, you know, I shouldn't have to tell you that Twinkies are bad for you.
You know, we all know better.
We all know better. I shouldn't have to tell you that pop is bad for you. We all know better.
And if you don't know better, go get the movie Supersize Me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen that yet, shame on you. So go get it. There's no amount of saying grace over a McDonald's meal that'll make it nutritious for you.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so junk food's bad for you. Healthy food is good for you. If 200 years ago they ate it, go ahead, have fun. If it wasn't around 200 years ago, don't eat it. Our digestive systems have not adapted to modern foods. So, you know, vegetables, whole grains, fruits, nuts, legumes, stuff like that.
And I'll tell you, in discovering the food allergies the way I did describe that, didn't I, on this
uh-huh.
program? Yeah. One of the things that I found, and it's still true to this day, is once you've eliminated a food from your diet, anytime you accidentally trip over it, you know, it's hidden in some ketchup or something, you'll have a really big reaction to it. It's like your body's been walking straight up and it says, no, we're not going to do that again, you know, and it bangs you and slams you down. So you'll find that if you fasted from a food that you're allergic to and then you get into it again, it'll really give you a big reaction. Right, Thomas?
Dairy, dairy, I know.
he just tried to experiment with a pizza again, and it didn't work so well.
No, I've got a horrible headache from a slice of pizza.
We all do this. We all have to play in it, you know, and dabble. But if you're just aware that your body doesn't do well with certain types of foods, especially, you know, a high carbohydrate diet or cow's milk or wheat are very common problems, and white sugar, just forget about it. Just please eliminate it. You'll just do much better if you can get rid of those. One other issue with the chronic fatigue and the situation I was in is as the adrenals go down, you won't sleep well. You'll only be able to cat nap and grab little snatches of good sleep. So here you are as exhausted as you can be, and you can't get any rest. So one of the things to make yourself aware of are natural sleep aids. And one of my favorites is a time-release valerian, which is very high in calcium, a natural pain reliever. I like to put myself to bed after a nice hot bath with lavender oil and Epsom salts to pull out toxins, and or three drops of a product we've got called Deep Relief, which is a combination of, clove oil, nutmeg, and something else. It's like a spice cabinet. You know, it's great spicy stuff, but all of these are anesthetic, which means that they will numb the pain. And you can get to sleep while the pain is numb and get deeper sleep. Thomas has mentioned to me many times 5-HTP. I tend to forget that one, but it's great.
It's 5-HTP taken during the daytime when there's sunlight out converts to serotonin and makes you happy. Taking it at nighttime converts to melatonin and makes you sleepy. So it's safer to take the melatonin by itself. Melatonin by itself shouldn't be taken more than a couple of days in a row because then the body will start to decrease its own production of melatonin if you supplement with melatonin. But if you take 5-HTP, your body will boost its natural production of melatonin and help you sleep better. And also I have to emphasize this, proper sleep cycles. The body only produces melatonin from 8 at night to 10 at night. So if you're not in bed with your eyes closed by 9:45, you're not going to sleep as well.
Yeah, you really will get better sleep if you can get to bed early.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're supposed to sleep.
Us on the radio and go to sleep.
Let us put you to sleep at night. We'll bore you to sleep. Okay. Just count yourself down. You know, a fellow this weekend was telling us about learning to breathe deeply and being able to put himself to sleep under any tense circumstances. Just concentrate, focus on your breath, and count it. Hold it for that many counts, and then count it out. And if you can focus on that, you'll put yourself right to sleep.
Now, I know you've mentioned that kava is one of your favorites.
I forgot that one. Yes, it's one of my very favorite ones. It's a natural anesthetic for the muscles as well. So if you break one capsule open into water, you'll just get kind of nice and relaxed. And it tends to help your brain to focus. And with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, there tends to be a brain fog. You can't get a clear thought. It's hard to read because you can't remember the beginning of the sentence by the time you get to the end. And relief from that fog was something I was looking for, and kava gives me that. It helps me to focus my attention. I can write, and I don't get the muscle cramp in my shoulder that I would normally get if I typed longer than an hour. So it just helps me to relax with a cup of kava. Now, if you really want to be relaxed, put three capsules in a cup. And that's another great way to go to sleep, too. Although I've had people tell me, some of my sleep problem people, that kava actually made them so focused that they didn't sleep, but they had a great time all night making candles or doing something creative, so it wasn't a problem. I've had more than one tell me that. But when I take it, if I'm at all sore, you know, it just helps me to relax physically. And you get great dreams with it if you use it before you go to sleep. Really vivid, fun dreams. None of the nightmare stuff.
I do have to mention here that kava affects people differently, and it is considered a central nervous system depressant. It's a CNS depressant. And so taking, you know, 10 capsules of kava and then trying to operate a motor vehicle is
not
the best
that.
Idea in the world, no.
No. And I'd experiment with just one and see what it does with you and then go from there. But kava is a really good relaxant. I also had mentioned to you before that I love lavender oil. Just three or four drops in the bathtub puts me in a whole different space. the anxiety can leave. You know, you have anxiety when your liver and your thyroid are down, and they're involved in this. The other blend that I've come to love myself is a combination of frankincense, myrrh, and pink grapefruit. It helps me to focus with the pink grapefruit, and the frankincense and myrrh are both going to fight with viruses, and they're also going to put me at a spiritual level. They're kind of spiritual stimulants. Oh, I just thought of another one that I've used is olive leaf. It's an antiviral also, and with the Epstein-Barr virus that I was talking about earlier, related to mono or to herpes viruses, the olive leaf is another one that you can use to clear that virus completely out of your system.
Mm-hmm.
And modern medicine has nothing for viruses. Ask any doctor, they'll tell you that. And I've just told you about VSC and olive leaf to clear the viruses out of your system. And there have been studies done on VSC that say that it does kill off the herpes-type viruses.
Yeah, and both of those do increase oxygen in the bloodstream and help to change that biological terrain also.
And more oxygen, the more oxygen you get, the better it is. You'll get rid of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the air in the stuffy room that helps to clear the garbage out so the flies can go away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, we're getting close to 5 minutes till. We should have said before that anyone could call in and ask us questions, but we're so close right now it's hard to do that. Let's give our email addresses one more time, Thomas. Go ahead.
Okay, yes, my email address is tmeasley@hotmail.com. That's tmeasley@hotmail.com.
And my email is N, as in Norman, Gingrich, G-I-N-G-E-R-I-C-H, at cinci.rr.com. And please email us with any questions you have concerning the topics that we talked about tonight. And if you have a topic you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know that too. And if you're interested in joining us in Asheville, it's North Carolina, right?
Mm-hmm.
The last week in June, when we get a date set, you know, you can join us for the Dr. Mom, Dr. Dad class. And Thomas and I are having so much fun teaching, we want to take Dr. Mom, Dr. Dad everywhere and then follow it up with ABC plus D, which would go system by system through the body and tell you what to do about 70% of what ails you. And you'll come away from there with a totally different attitude toward your body, because then you will have the owner's manual. And
yep.
You'll know how to use it much more effectively and how to care for it better. There. That's an interesting description of it. ABC plus D is the owner's manual for the body. How do you like that? Okay. I guess we better sign off then. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Have a great night.
Thank you. Bye.